This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Good morning and welcome to the Leadership Forum right here, Top FM, Listen and Live. My name is Grace Mutiso and we celebrate that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is risen indeed. The Leadership Forum is a platform where we discuss matters, leaders and followers, and we gather together to learn on practical things we can do to be excellent leaders and also excellent followers. We began a series on perspectives of leadership, and today we pick it up from there with Bishop Dr. David Oginde, who joins us every alternate Monday for the Leadership Forum. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Yes, thank you.
Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
You had a good one?
Yes, indeed. Mm. Yeah, that's been a great time.
Yes.
Since we last met.
Mm.
And God has been gracious.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
What are two things you'd love us to reflect on, even as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Wow. That's an interesting question.
Mm.
Two things, not one.
Okay. Before I go to Mambo ni Matatu.
Matatu.
Let's give us two.
Well, Jesus took 3 days, so Mambo Matatu.
Yes, please.
No, I think one of the things that I get to appreciate more and more as I grow older in my journey with the Lord is that a sacrifice, which sometimes we take for granted. But like I said, the older I grow in this journey and the more I read the scriptures, I realize just what a great thing that God did for us. Right now I'm reading through the book of Leviticus, and it is almost tiring. Let me say, as I read these instructions on sacrifices and what people need to do. Yesterday I was reading about if a person has mildew, you know, on their skin, they are supposed to show themselves to the priest. The priest is supposed to check, find out whether it is skin deep and all that detail, and whatever he finds, then this person is supposed to bring a sacrifice, whether a lamb or a goat or a pigeon. Then the priest is supposed to slaughter it, pour the blood at the altar, and it is very detailed.
Yes.
Then what even caught my attention more is now if you have like a mold on your house, on your wall.
And the way they run around in our houses.
You're supposed to call the priest, call the pastor.
Bishop,
there's a mold in my house.
Yes.
So he's supposed to come, scrape it, check whether it is deeper than just the surface of the wall.
Yes.
And decide what it is. Then you're supposed to bring a lamb, a goat, or a pigeon to be offered. Then he will scrape off that mold, and if it is beyond just the painting, he is to dig out that. And as I read that over and over again, and so many of these things, and I just thought to myself, this was such a bloody exercise, and pastors had such a
difficult time. You're just sleeping. I call.
Mold. There's a mold on my wall.
Yeah,
and so many other things. And now you think about it, that just by that one act that Jesus did or took on the cross on Friday on a weekend like this one, that was dealt with.
Yes,
we no longer have to bring goats and lambs and you know, you just prayed for and the matter is done. You can even pray for yourself. You don't even need a pastor. You can pray for yourself. And these things that we take so for granted, Jesus dealt with them just once and for all. The writer to the Hebrews says that he offered one sacrifice for all.
Yes.
And it has dealt with all those things. So that now you don't have to carry a goat, a cow, a ram, a pigeon, go and see a priest because you have a rash on your face. You just pray.
Yes.
So just one thing that I'm saying there is the labor.
Yeah.
You know, forget about the spiritual aspect. Just the labor that one had to go through in order for them to be cleansed.
Yes.
In order for them to be for their sin to be forgiven, that labor alone, to me, is, if it is the only one, it is still enough. It is still enough.
Yeah.
If that labor, he delivered me from that labor of having to look for these things to go and offer a sacrifice. But of course, that was not all. That now our sin was paid for once and for all.
Amen.
You don't have to keep going to the priest.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Every time you have to go to the priest, weekly basis, sometimes daily basis, to go and offer sacrifices for your sin. So that now if we confess our sin in that first confession of repentance and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that alone ushers you into a new realm of relationship with God.
Yes.
And you become a child of God, like John says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. So now I am not just coming to the priest. I am a priest myself. You know, by being a co-heir with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And many of these things are then taken care of in that process. Then of course the joy of living a Christian life.
Yes.
Is the third one. That being an heir of the kingdom, it means I also benefit from the blessings and favors of that relationship. Somebody was telling me the other day that you are so blessed. Of course, you know what people mean when they when they say you are so blessed.
We can see.
Yeah, but I was telling, yes, why not? Because I'm a child of God. And there are things that happen in my life. There are things that God does in my life, sometimes without even my praying or asking.
Yes.
But just because I am his child, he when he's seated there somewhere, he's remembering me and thinking about me and does things for me that I would never have imagined.
Yeah.
All because Jesus went to the cross and rose again.
Amen.
And now we can benefit from that relationship and being a children of heaven, that God just pours his blessing upon me in spite of anything else. And for me, that is something that I would not trade for anything.
Yeah.
I am now 45 years since I became a Christian, and I don't think if I was to start afresh, knowing what I know, I would go for it again.
Amen.
You know, there are people who say, knowing what I know, I would not go there again. But knowing what I know,
yes,
I will go back there again. Perhaps earlier than I did. Yeah. Because it is a very blessed life. And so Easter is a reminder of that. And I just thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, powerful. Amen.
Thank you.
You know, as you're talking, I was just thinking those days were very tough days. because maybe if I had a pimple, I had to be secluded in a room, yes, call the priest to find out is it leprosy, you know, and stay there, I don't know, for 7 or 14 days. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Christ
said, like a pimple.
It's finished. Hey. They're living in blessed days.
That's the labor I was talking about.
Yes. Just
that labor of a little thing called the priest.
Yes. The priest, then the must priest have been dead.
And the priest doesn't come for nothing. You have to have a sacrifice.
Mm. A sheep.
A sheep.
And a specific one.
Yes. Without defect.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Bishop, for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. So let's pick it up from where we paused. We talked about perspectives of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And last time we were together, we talked about Theory X leaders. And thank you for bringing Kingston our way. He taught us a lot about types of followers.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Types of followers. As we talked about perspective of leaders, there are also followers on this end. And
on the other side.
We learned a lot and Googled ourselves, where do we stand? Among the five.
As leaders. As followers.
As followers.
Ah, good.
Yes.
Good, good.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So we posted Theory X.
Yes.
Type of leaders. We can pick it up from there.
Yes. So we continue with perspectives of leadership. And for those who may be listening for the first time, we say that the way a person understands leadership,
yes,
or what leadership is the way they practice leadership.
Mm.
So you just look at a person and see how they are conducting themselves as leaders. Then you will know what this person thinks leadership is.
Yes.
You know? Mm. So the people practice leadership in very different ways.
Mm.
How they treat individuals, how they conduct themselves, and so on. That tells you what they think leadership is.
Yes.
And that's why we decided to just look at these perspectives of leadership, that how do people view leadership?
Yes.
According to studies that have been done, what are some of the ways that people view leadership? And so this is the series that we may be doing for the next short while on how people view leadership.
Mm.
And we started with what we call Theory X.
Mm.
And we said Theory X leaders, people who view leadership from this perspective, they believe that workers are bad. You know, people are generally bad. They don't want to work. Mm. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do. Mm. They are unmotivated and so on.
Mm.
So when a person comes from that perspective, then now they believe that people have to be forced to do work.
Mm.
You have to shout at them. You have to, you know, and the little positive on that side would be incentives.
Yes.
So I tell you, do this, and I will do this.
Transactional.
Very
kind
transactional.
Of leadership, yeah.
So because I believe that you don't want to do work.
Mm.
People are generally lazy.
Yes.
So that is what Theory X perspective to leadership is.
Mm.
Today we want to go to the opposite of that.
Yes.
Which is called Theory Y.
Mm.
Yeah. Theory Y. Both theories were developed by one Douglas MacGregor way back in 1960.
Mm.
So it's not a new theory.
Mm.
It persists up today.
Yes.
You know, you just look at people and say this one. This is how they view leadership.
Yes.
So Theory Y is actually the opposite of Theory X. And so MacGregor categorized leaders in these two groups.
Yes.
The Theory X, people who perceive leadership as directive, coercive, because they are coming from that perspective that people are lazy, people don't want to work. You saw how in the olden days, people who have slaves, how they treat slaves,
yes,
how they treat their servants and workers. And it is that assumption that unless I supervise this person closely, unless I coerce this person, unless I punish this person, they will not do the work. They will not work. People are generally bad. Theory Y now says the very opposite.
Yeah.
That people generally want to work. They want to work. And so the Theory Y leader approaches their leadership responsibility from the perspective that I have team members who want to do what needs to be done. So how then can I help them to do what they're supposed to do?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is the perspective. So we will look at a few things that these kind of leaders believe and how it affects their leadership and how we can also learn from the same. And maybe as we talk about this, you can gauge yourself.
Yes, very important.
Are you a theory X person? No. How do you look at leadership? How do you practice leadership? So the first, as I said, in this perspective, Theory Y perspective, is that people are self-motivated.
Yes.
People are generally self-motivated. What does that mean? That people have an internal drive to do work and to achieve goals. That generally in any human being, their desire is to do work.
Yeah.
So they don't need to be pushed constantly. They are naturally motivated. And there are circumstances that would make that to happen.
Yes.
When their work aligns with their values, with their ambitions, with their desires. So if the work aligns with those, these people will work without any supervision. These people will work without any motivation, no external motivation that is required, because the very fact that my work aligns with my values, with my interest, with my goals, it in itself is motivating enough, and therefore I will want to do my work in the best way possible. So this self drive is what, as a leader now, I want to see how can I build on that and help my people to do work. So the motivation here is not just about like money, benefits, and so on. They are about purpose.
Yes.
How, to what extent is this work fulfilling my purpose in life? It's about growth. How am I growing through my work? What kind of fulfillment am I getting out of the work that I do?
Yes.
So when these things are there, people can work without being paid.
Yes.
They can work without these other benefits. Because of that, those higher value motivation that then cause a person to want to work because they are finding fulfillment in what they are doing. So when people understand why their work is or matters in feeling their sense of fulfillment, self-actualization, purpose, then they just do work.
Yes.
They are self-motivated. You don't have to coerce them. You don't have to push them. You don't have to shout at them. They will just do work. So Theory Y leaders, therefore, understanding, taking this perspective, whoever comes to their team, their first responsibility is to find out who is this person. Yeah.
Not go sit there.
Yeah.
Theory X will be, you know, you want yeah, to,
go,
to
yeah,
do.
Go and do. So the leader's first responsibility is to find out who is this person. What are their interests? What are their goals? What are their ambitions? What are their values? Because you want to understand that person and what matters to them.
Yeah.
And now combined with the skills that they have and whatever it is that they are bringing to the team, you want to place them somewhere where they will therefore fulfill their goals, their ambitions, their desires, and so on. So my responsibility as a leader is to plug you in.
Yes.
Into the right place.
Mm.
Mm. You know?
Yes.
And because I know that if I plug you in the right place, you will do your work without supervision, without coercion, without any external motivation. You will be excited about doing the work.
Yes.
So a round peg should be plugged in the round hole.
Yes.
A square peg should be plugged into the square hole.
Yes.
And everybody feels they belong, they are doing a fulfilling work, and so on. So just that perspective that people are self-motivated helps you as a leader then to see how to help these people to fulfill their goals and their roles. So one Desi and Ryan as talking about this says intrinsic motivation, which is motivation that comes from within,
yes,
not from outside,
yes,
stems from the satisfaction of doing the task itself and not from external reward. So I get my satisfaction in doing the work that I've been given to do, not in what I'm going to get out of it.
Yes.
External motivation arises when the work that I'm doing is not aligned to my own personal values, personal ambitions, personal growth and development. And so I'm doing for the sake of doing.
Yeah. I'm just here for the money.
I'm just here for the money to put food on the table. So you as a leader, how then do you ensure that your people are properly plugged in? It is the role of the leader. So theory Y therefore comes from that perspective.
Yes.
Where my first responsibility is to understand the people,
yes,
and plug them in. And that comes from believing that everybody is well motivated,
yes,
if they are doing the right thing and if they're in the right place.
Yes.
One Africa proverb says, when the roots are deep, there's no reason to fear the wind. When the roots are deep, there is no reason to fear the wind.
Yes.
In other words, when individuals, applying it to our story, our topic for the day, when individuals are deeply rooted in what they are doing, you don't have to worry about external factors that may affect them or uproot them.
Okay.
So you'll find that when people have found a place where they feel they are growing, they feel their values are aligned, they feel their desires are met, and so on, those people are not looking for another job.
No, they settle.
They settle, and you may find they are not even, you're not even paying them much, but just that fulfillment that I'm doing a job that is satisfying, it will keep them there for a long time. Yes.
Okay.
So the leadership responsibility, as we said, are two. One, understand the people, understand your people, know your people, know what their needs are, know what their ambitions are, then connect them in the right place. And then number two, create an environment where people connect with a greater vision of the organization.
Yeah.
So one of the critical roles of a Theory Y leader is, how do I create an environment within which my members thrive?
Yes.
And create that vision of the future so that when they look into the future, they can see themselves there, you know?
Yes.
Because sometimes the reason people leave organizations is that when they look into the future, they can see, they can see themselves there.
I'm not in the picture.
You're not there. Not there. You know, mine ends somewhere here. So you hear people saying, I have reached my limit, you know, things like that.
Yes.
It's because you have not painted for them the picture that this organization, we are going somewhere, and this is where we are going, and this is how you fit in.
Yes.
Yeah. So that they get excited about it. Those are Theory Y leaders. The second perspective of Theory Y is that people seek responsibility. People seek responsibility.
Yes.
Basically, what this means, you know, in Theory X, people are lazy.
Yes.
They don't want to work, you know.
Yes, you have to push.
You have to push them. This one is basically saying that generally people want something to connect with. They want responsibility. So that when conditions are right, people are not only capable of handling responsibility, but they actually want responsibility. So and when you have team members and you give them a responsibility, there's something that it does to them. It that responsibility pulls out or draws out of them something, you know, that they feel, I can make a contribution.
Yes.
Than when you are just there, you know, putting one nut every day throughout the year.
Yes.
It's so mechanical. They don't feel a sense of responsibility. So people want to be trusted with the responsibility.
Yes.
People want to be given something they are in charge of. You know?
Yes.
No, you are not just there being told, pick this, take that, move there.
No. They are not robots.
They are not robots.
Yeah.
Even robots take responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people want to feel that you've come to me and you have told me we need this done. And then you leave it to me to think through, how do we do it? How do I go about it? What do I need? So that sense of, I am in charge of this, gives people a sense of fulfillment. And when people are given responsibility, they rise to the occasion.
Yes.
So you may find somebody who looks like they can't do anything. You know, they are so laid back. But the moment you give them a responsibility, you get amazed at how they suddenly come up with very great ideas, with great enthusiasm, and they are able to do things beyond what you even imagined that they could do.
Yes.
Because that sense of responsibility is within us.
Yeah.
It is within us. So when I'm given a responsibility, I now have to think of, how do I go about it? So people rise to the occasion. But sometimes we don't want to give people responsibility because you have already judged them. This one they can't do, you know. try them out. Yes. Try them out.
Yes.
So responsibility allows people to plan, to think about the outcomes, to exercise judgment, to make decisions. And it also gives them a sense of self respect. When you give a person a responsibility, they do not want to fail.
Yes.
Because that failure goes with them. You know?
Yes.
When if my project fails, it's like I've also failed.
Yes.
And I have lowered my dignity and my self-respect. So I want to do everything possible to make this project work.
And excel.
Yes. So that sense of desire to make things happen makes this person, therefore, to give it their very best in as far as they know how.
Yes.
So a leader, a theory-wise leader, looking at people from that perspective, that people want responsibility. Actually, they need responsibility.
Yes.
Will then create an environment where every person is given a sense of responsibility. A task that they can do, a task that they are responsible for, no matter how small it is. But that this is something I am personally responsible for, and I can give a report and an account on.
Yes.
So, in fact, I'm just thinking of Jesus giving the parable of the master who went on a trip. So he calls this three people and gives them talents, 1 5, 1 2, 1 1, and he could have given one person all of it, but he's giving these people responsibility.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
so that by the time he comes back, now he wants an account.
Yes.
Then of course they are the lazy guys. They will always be there.
Yes.
So this other guy is like, I will not do anything. This guy is going to earn money where he has not worked. You know, those kind of things. But you can see how he did not tell these people what to do. He just gave them
the talent. Yes.
But when they gave them the talents, at least the other two, actually all of them, thought, what do I do with this?
Yes.
It's just the decisions that were different.
Mm.
So the one went to work, multiplied, brought a hundredfold.
Yes.
The other one went to work, brought a hundredfold. This one also made a decision, which is still a sense of responsibility.
Yes.
And he decided, for me, I'm going to keep. At least I won't lose it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it. So when as a leader, you have your team members, the theory Y perspective says, give your people responsibility. Give your people responsibility. If you're not too sure, try them with little things, and keep growing, keep increasing. Entrust them with one talent and see what happens. Give them two talents, and give them five, and so on and so forth. That is how then people get satisfaction and fulfillment in the work that they are doing. The MacGregor says that employees will seek and accept responsibility when conditions satisfy their psychological needs. So when you give people responsibility, they just arise to the occasion. And sometimes people will surprise you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, theory X people, when they give you responsibility, everything is specified. Yeah.
One times two.
Everything is specified. Yes. You do this and you do this. Yes. I don't know whether you have been in this. Chairman even dictates the minutes.
Correct the minutes. Have you captured it that way? No, no, no.
Just read what you have written. No. Just change that. That's a theory X person. A theory Y person believes that you have the capacity to do what needs to be done. So I just tell you what I need done, and I leave it to you to know how to do it.
Yes.
Want responsibility, and you are capable of doing what needs to be done. So what does that mean for us as leaders? Mm. Is that we should not hoard decision making. Mm. We should not, as leaders, keep things to ourselves.
Yes.
Keep responsibilities to ourselves, but delegate. Mm. Seek people's opinions.
Yes.
Give people projects. Mm. Help people to solve their problems. So even if a person comes to you with a problem, don't be quick to give a solution. Mm. Discuss.
Yes.
What is your thinking on what you are saying?
Yes.
Have you given it any thought?
Yes.
Do you have any options?
Yes.
And let them share with you, because normally they have.
They have the answers.
They have answers. Yeah. They just want to be sure they're on the right track.
Yeah.
So you listen, and if you find they're on the right track, you just say, yeah, that's actually, in my view, that sounds very good. Maybe you could just go and do this and this and add this and the other. Mm. And that gives them greater confidence to make decisions, to go ahead and do things than when, before they even started, they say, should have done this, you should do this, go and do this. Mm. Then, so you disempower them.
Yeah.
You disempower them. So theory, why leaders empower?
Yes.
You give people tasks and projects, and you allow them to make decisions to solve those problems.
Mm.
Yes.
I like these leaders.
You like me?
I'd love to be their follower.
Now we want you to be them. We want you to be them. To be that leader.
Yeah. Oh, help me.
Yeah. So I don't know whether you have any questions or comments.
No questions so far, but just an observation that this leader really, the focus is on ensuring I give members an excellent environment where they're able to thrive, allow them to grow, think, give them opportunity to share their opinions,
yes,
and just work with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And you see, that only comes from your perspective
as a leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you believe that these people have what it takes.
They're already motivated.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have what it takes. Mm. That's why you will lead them that way. But if you don't believe, if you believe that, oh, these people are lazy, they're only here to steal from the company.
Yes.
Then you can't give them that opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, as we're talking, a question came to mind, then I remembered, no, it's not about the follower. The perspective here is, it's me as a leader, I view my followers that way.
Yes.
Already motivated. Mine is just to create an environment, ensure they thrive. The question I had in my mind as you were talking was, what if these members, they just don't want? They remembered, no, it's not about the members.
It is about you, the leader.
The leader.
It is
how
about
you perceive leadership
determines
how you will lead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, if you come from the perspective that these people don't want to work, they are lazy, they are troublemakers, then you'll treat them that way.
Yes.
You'll treat them that way. Mm. So you will not give people opportunity, you'll not trust people. Mm. These people are thieves, they will steal from me. So you put barriers, you put, you know, all kinds of
CCTVs everywhere. You move this way, one is watching.
And by the way, what is very interesting, Grace,
yes,
is that people also on the other side,
yes,
behave the way you treat them.
Very true.
So if you believe they are thieves and robbers, they will actually steal from you.
True.
With all your CCTV, with all your everything, they will steal from you.
Mm.
If you believe they are lazy, they will not work.
Mm.
So they will wait for you until you shout.
Yeah. That will motivate them.
Not motivate. Get them going. It is not a motivation. In fact, I have seen situations where, because these people are so used to being shouted at, they are so used to being pushed, when the leader does not do that, they just sit. They think it is okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we were sitting out in the sun and she's passing by and she doesn't say anything, then it means we are okay.
That's funny.
Why is that? Yeah, because that's how you have trained us.
Yes.
Because now we are sitting here and you pass by and you don't say anything. And actually, when you opened the door and you found us sitting out there, we were expecting fireworks.
Yes. And you just passed quietly.
Then you pass quietly.
Yes.
Then you think, it means we are okay.
Yes.
So we can sit there until lunchtime. Because boss hajasema chochote.
Yeah, tuko sawa.
Yeah, tuko sawa. But people who have been developed to take responsibility, they don't sit in the sun.
No.
No. they will know that we have work to do. I need to go and do it, whether the boss is there or not. I will still do what I need to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So people will behave and conduct themselves the way you treat them. If you treat them like dogs, they'll behave like dogs.
And
they will bark at you, yes. And bite you behind.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you are on the Leadership Forum, right here, Top FM, Listen and Live, and we are talking about perspectives of leadership. To talk to us on 0717-400-555. That is 0717-400-555.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
My name is Grace Mutiso. I'm hosting Bishop Dr. David Oginde with us every alternate Monday for the Leadership Forum. I hope you enjoy the first part of this program as we talk about perspective of leadership. We're focusing on theory. Why today? Keep your questions coming on 0717-400-555. That's our WhatsApp line, and we'll be having a look at them. Bishop, welcome back.
Thank you.
We stopped at the point of saying the way you treat your followers, they'll do the same. And the way you model,
exactly,
they'll do the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very true.
Mm.
If you treat them, like I said, like dogs, they will bark at you.
Mm.
And they will wait as you are passing by and bite you from behind.
Yes.
That's what we call backbiting. So they will backbite you.
Yeah.
And say all kinds of things about you, because that's how you treat them.
Yes.
Yeah, so in resuming our discussion, the third perspective that Theory Y have about their members or people is that people are inherently creative.
Mm.
People are inherently
creative.
Mm. The idea is that creativity and creative thinking in terms of bringing solutions, new ideas, problem solving, and so on, are natural to human beings.
Mm.
It's natural to human beings.
Mm.
Each and every one of us has a creative, trait.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no one who is not creative.
Yes.
So creativity is not a gift.
Mm.
Creativity is a human trait.
Mm.
And whereas this MacGregor, I don't think it was coming from a religious Christian perspective. When I think of what he is saying, it is actually true, because we do know that when God created the human being, the Bible says, "Let's create man in our own image."
Yes.
And from a theological perspective, part of the image of God that we inherited or got from him when we were created is creativity.
Yes.
Because God is creative.
Mm.
He creates things from what we call ex nihilo. He doesn't need material.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. He. If you read Genesis chapter 1, how he just spoke and things came to be. And human beings are still exploring those things today.
Yeah.
And discovering the creative nature of God. Unfortunately, most of the people who are in that field of exploring and studying these things don't even believe in creation. And yet they keep discovering the complexities of God's creation, whether it is in human beings or in plants, in animals, in just nature as a whole. There is vastness in just the thought that has gone into creation, which we are still exploring today, and we keep discovering. So that creative ability, which is the nature of God, was also given to us when He created us in His own image. So what MacGregor is actually saying is true, that in every single one of us, there's the ability to create. We have the creative ability. We have innovative ability. Just see a person when they are in trouble or in difficulties and see how they find ways and means of getting out of that problem. It is that creative nature. So the difference that then comes in between us is that some of us have been either given the opportunity to develop that creative nature or have taken the opportunity to develop that creative nature within us. So the creative nature is resident in each and every one of us. And therefore, we are capable of being innovative. We are capable of coming up with innovative ideas, creative ideas, and so on. So MacGregor in Theory Y says, the way a leader then looks at his or her people is that these are creative people.
Yes.
These people have the capacity to come up with wonderful ideas. They have the capacity to be very innovative. Okay?
Yes.
So my role is therefore, as a leader, to create that environment that allows those creative juices to come up, you know, and be utilized for the benefit of the whole. So I don't look at the human person or any person as useless. You know, they have no ideas. Theirs is just to consume. Theirs is to receive. So I come from that place where I believe that Grace here has wonderful ideas, have the capacity to come up with solutions, have the capacity to think beyond the box. And therefore, how do I create an environment that gives her that opportunity to bring up those things that are within her? So that is how a Theory Y leader leads. So in traditional workplaces, only a few people are expected to be creative, to come up with ideas.
Put them in a corner. Creatives, sit there.
Yes.
The rest, consult them.
Yeah. So we don't, because we don't believe that everybody is capable of coming up with ideas. So because of that, we don't benefit from the creative capacity of our whole team. You know?
Yes.
We only work with a few people. Many times people who have come up and they have developed their capacity for creativity. They have demonstrated that they can think creatively, that they can think out of the box, that they can come up with innovative ideas. But the rest of the people, they're there to follow, you know, mm-hmm. they're to learn from the rest of us. Mm-hmm. But Theory Y leader believes that all of us have that capacity. Mm-hmm. So what do? I challenge every member of my team to come up with ideas in their own areas.
Yes.
Because I believe that each one has an idea.
Yes.
So give them space to express themselves. Give them space to explore. When we were talking about innovation and creativity, I think many years ago on this forum, we said that leaders who believe in innovation and creativity are not afraid of mistakes. So you give people opportunity to try.
Yes.
And if they fail, you then don't castigate them. You sit down with them and find out what could have been done better.
Yes.
What may have gone wrong? How can we develop this idea further? And in that way, you give people the confidence that I can explore new ideas. And if I fail, I will be supported.
Yes.
I will not be castigated. Because if you are always shouting at me, who gave you the permission to do that? Where did you get this from? You know? What does the policy say? Then now I may be thinking of trying something, but I won't try because just in case it fails.
Or breaks policy.
Then I cannot, I will be scolded, I will be, you know. So a Theory Y leader gives opportunity to the team members to explore from the belief that every person has creative abilities that is inherent in them.
Yes.
So levels of that thinking creatively, innovatively will vary from person to person, but we all have that capacity to think of novel ways of doing things, to think of innovative ways of doing things, to come up with solutions that are different from the ordinary.
Yes.
In any field. So mine as a leader is to encourage that kind of thinking.
Yes.
So if I sit with my team member in their own field, one of the things that I personally do and a Theory Y leader should do is that you ask them, because you don't want your people to settle down to routine. So you ask them, is there another way we can do this thing?
Yes.
You know? That challenges them to think. Yes. to think. So that you are not doing things in the same way over and over again, you know, over years in, year out. But you are thinking, you are sitting down and saying, is there another way we can do this thing? What are the current trends? What are other people doing?
Yes.
Because you want to expand their thinking.
Yes.
You want to cause them to think outside of the box, or as we say these days, think without the box.
Yes.
But that will only happen if you as a leader challenge me as your member to think.
Yes.
But if you are, I'm delivering the same thing and you're saying this is good and this is good and this is good, then I just keep giving you the same thing.
Status quo.
You see? Yes. So we maintain status quo. But if I come to you and say, this is very good, but is there something else we can do? Is there a way we can improve this? Is there a different way we can do this? Then I go back and dream.
Yes.
I go back and think. And that in itself, in transformational leadership, we call it intellectual stimulation.
Yes.
One of the four I's of transformational leadership. Intellectual stimulation. In other words, you challenge me to think. That challenge to think in itself is a great motivator for workers.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because human beings like something that they feel I have created.
Mm.
So when you challenge me to think, then I go and think and I come up with a eureka moment.
Yes.
It is very fulfilling.
Mm.
It is very fulfilling. So you want your team members to be in that kind of space. So the capacity to be creative resides in all individuals. It is not confined to a gifted few, says Juan Amabile in his book, Creativity in Context. The capacity to be creative resides in all individuals. Mm. It is not confined to a gifted few.
Mm.
That is a perspective that I bring into leadership as a Theory Y leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
That this person has the potential of doing more than they are doing. So what do I do as a leader to build that?
Mm.
I encourage experimentation. I allow for mistakes as part of learning. I invite diverse perspectives in decision making so that we can move our work to the next level through creative thinking.
Mm.
Yes. Number four and second last of what we would want to discuss is Theory Y leaders believe that shared goals create commitment. Shared goals create commitment.
Shared goals in this case, is it personal goals as a follower and organization? Or is just followers who believe in organizational goals?
Yes, we'll explain in a short while. Shared goals here means that we are all going in the same direction.
Yes.
And we are all clear on where we are going.
Mm.
And we all believe in where we are going.
Yes.
So when I know that what I'm doing and what you are doing and what the other person is doing is all going towards a common goal, it creates a motivation and commitment.
Mm.
Yes, that's what this is all about. So what we therefore looking for is to help set goals.
Yes.
That are clear, that everybody understands, and then each person sees where they fit in into that overall goal.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense. Mm.
So that I know that I'm doing this part.
Yes.
But it is just part of the whole.
Oh. Yes.
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 You have heard of what is called the silo effect, where you have teams. We are working on this. We have no idea what the other person is doing, or even if we know what they are doing, we don't know how it fits in the whole.
Yes.
So you find that teams even fight among
themselves.
You know, because I don't understand how yours contributes to mine. So I think mine is more important than yours.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that creates division, that creates fights, that creates a sense of lack of clarity. But when people know what we are all working towards, my role may even look very small or insignificant, but I know that we are all working towards a common a common purpose.
Yes.
When the ultimate goal is fulfilled, we all share in the glory of the same. It is said of this president who went to NASA NASA in the US, the space station. So they were just about to launch a person to the moon for the first time.
Yes.
So when the president went to just get briefing on what, so he passes by and finds this guy was cleaning the floor in NASA. So he asks, who was your name and so on, and what do you do? And he say, we are placing someone on the moon. We are working towards placing someone
in the moon.
On the moon.
Mm.
Yes.
As I clean the floor.
As I clean the floor, I'm contributing to this person going to the moon.
Mm.
That tells you that this person has that pride.
Yes.
Because he's not saying, I am doing this. Mm-mm. He's saying, we are doing this.
The main goal.
Yes.
Mm.
So the question was, what are you doing or what do you do?
Yes.
The answer is, we, not
yes,
I. Do you see?
Exactly.
Do you see the difference? So we are working towards placing someone on the moon. It's not I am cleaning the floor.
No.
All of us in this NASA center, we are working towards one goal of placing somebody in the moon.
Mm.
So it means that when this this person is successfully launched into the moon, the cleaner down there is just as excited.
Yes.
We did it.
This is where he passed.
He went there.
Yeah.
Because I contributed to that.
Yes.
It is not just the scientists and the engineers and all those great guys that were doing the great things at the front.
Mm.
But all of us, including I, who is cleaning the floor, I'm part of that ultimate objective of placing somebody in the moon. That is what shared goals is all about.
Yes.
That when people are clear that we are placing someone on the moon, it doesn't matter which department I'm in.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether I'm a secretary, a cleaner, a watchman at the gate, a scientist at the front. All of us are working towards one thing. One goal. So shared goals brings commitment. You can imagine this person going still at NASA.
Mm.
This person cleaning that floor with the excitement that one of these days we are going to get somebody on the moon.
Mm.
What is their level of commitment to their small work? You know? When he goes home, what kind of stories is he telling his family? You know?
Yes.
We are very close.
Tomorrow.
We are very close to getting this thing done, you know?
And the passion.
And the passion.
They can just visualize the passion. Yeah.
So every time they leave home,
they
are going not to clean the place.
No.
They are going to put someone
on the moon.
Mm. How can you get your team members to think that way?
Mm.
So theory Y, therefore, says that when we allow people to see the ultimate goal and share into it, they become motivated.
Mm.
Motivation, therefore, grows when people feel that they are co-authors of an idea.
Yes.
We are in this thing together. We have become partners and not just followers.
Yes.
Yeah. So our shared journey strengthens our collective purpose and our long-term commitment.
Mm.
Locke and Latham have said that employees are more committed to goals they help create because participation fosters ownership.
Wow. Participation?
Yeah. Fosters ownership.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
It builds ownership.
Yes.
So when we are coming up with new ideas, the general tendency of many of us as leaders is to go think, pray, come up with these creative ideas, you know, new way of doing things, change of direction, expansion program, and so on. And so we call our team members and tell them, this is where we are going. You know, and you outline, this is what we are going to do, this is you, for you, you are going to do this, you are going to do that, and you know, and you outline all these things that you have dreamt about. What normally happens in that situation is that you could get people assigned to their duties, but they may not do it with the enthusiasm that you have. So you are very excited about this new idea and new direction and new thing that you are doing, but they are not as enthusiastic. And you get concerned. Why are people not moving? Why are they not excited? So you resort to theory X. You know? So where you have to shout at people that you don't know how this is important and no. Now, the theory Y leader dreams.
Yes.
And then you come and bring your team members together and tell them, there's a thought that is coming to my mind. I don't know what you people think about it.
Yes.
And you don't give them the whole story. you give them a bit of the story and what you are thinking and where you think it is going, and then invite them to contribute. And many times you'll find that they come up with the same kind of details that you had, but even more.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when you finally wrap it up and say, this sounds, you people have really great ideas, and I really love what you have brought up, and now how can we implement this?
Yes.
And they come up and say, I think so and so should do this, this department should do that, and we all then buy into that whole idea together. The level of commitment and the level of implementation will be at another level.
Yes.
And like if you have thought it through and you're just telling us what to do. Yeah. Because we have become co-creators.
Public participation.
Public participation. Yes. So the implication, therefore, for this goal thing is that you need to involve people in goal setting and make space for co-creation. Make space for people to contribute ideas and align your personal ideas with the team members' ideas so that you deepen their engagement in the whole process.
Yes.
And they will be great. The last one, if time allows.
Yes, time is allowing.
Time is allowing. Let's do the last one then. Theory Y leaders believe that people want to be developed. People want to be developed. It is in the human desire to grow, to learn, to improve, to become better versions of themselves.
Yes.
That's what Theory Y says. So a person may come to you at one level, but they don't want to leave you at the same level. They want to learn, they want to grow, they want to develop. They want to become a better version of themselves. So if this is the perspective that I have of my people, that these people are coming to me, but they want to grow. These people are coming to me, they want to develop, they want to learn. So that will change my perspective of them, my view of them, how I handle them, how I work with them.
Yes.
So the idea here is that when people feel they are stagnating or stagnated, they hit the ceiling. Like we say, they disengage. They will not give you Those are the people that you find, they do what we call resign on the job.
They're just there.
They resigned a long time ago, but they are just, you have to put food on the table. Do you see?
Yes.
Yeah, because they don't feel they are growing. They don't feel they are developing. Mm. They don't feel there's any new learning that is taking place. And therefore, they resign. Mm. They disengage. Mm. So they're just there.
Yes.
These are people who will come late. They will not deliver on time. They will not do things. You don't sense excitement.
Yes.
In them. Because they are not developing. So growth opportunities are important for keeping people enthused, keeping people excited, keeping people committed. So you give them opportunity to learn, you give them opportunity to be mentored, you challenge them, like we said in the previous point, challenge them with new responsibilities that are slightly beyond where they are now,
yes,
so that they can strengthen their muscles. You know,
yeah.
You energize them, you give them boost.
You know, when I was growing up, Bishop, there was boost. I don't know if it's still there.
It's still
so
there.
When you are sick, you are told, kunya boost, to kupa energy.
It is there. There are many, many brands now.
Yeah.
There are many brands now. So you give them one of those. So that they can do their work well.
Yes.
Yes. So that is because you come from the perspective that people want to be developed.
Yeah.
They don't want to stagnate. They don't want to be in one place.
No.
So you want to see, how do I get these people to grow, to develop, to expand their capacity, and so on. So development here is not just about skills.
Mm.
Skills is one way.
Yes.
But their level of maturity.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
Their level of confidence, the development in terms of wisdom, critical thinking,
yes,
capacity to make decisions.
Mm.
So, how do I help my team members to grow in these areas and develop themselves in these areas? Somebody came to me at this level.
Yes.
1 year later, can anybody see a difference? You know. Can they feel I am a better person than when I came? That I have grown as a person.
Yes.
In my own perspective to life, my decision making, the way I do things, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
My knowledge capacity has increased, and so on. So that will keep people excited.
Yes.
Because they are growing, they are maturing, they are developing in their wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has said that a child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. And this happens in organizations. Because they have not been embraced,
yeah.
And they have not felt the warmth of the people of the village.
Yes.
So they burn it down to feel its warmth.
Oh my.
So if you ignore, or if people are ignored or underdeveloped, they disengage, and at worst, they disrupt.
Yes.
They cause chaos. Mm. They become problematic.
Mm.
In the organization. So how can we help our people to feel warmth without burning the organization, the building? So Theory Y leaders are people who believe in developing people,
yes,
growing people, giving them new responsibilities, so that they become better versions of themselves. continuous learning and personal development are not luxuries. They are central to human motivation and workplace engagement, said Senge in his book, The Fifth Discipline. Motivation. Continuous learning produces motivation. So give your people opportunity to learn new things, new ideas, new skills, expand their thinking, expand their capacity, put them in new departments. Let a person not die in one place, you know. So that they are more all-rounded in the work that they do. So leaders who think this way, leaders who have this perspective to people, invest in people's growth. So sending people for seminars, short courses, trainings, exposures, benchmarking, not the kind we do in Kenya, is part of your leadership responsibility. I don't know how it works in the media field, but what would happen if you take your Hope FM team to another bigger media house?
CBN, for example.
To go and see what, how do they do things? How do they relate with their audiences? What kind of programs and what kind of equipment are they using, and so on and so forth. I'm not a media person, so I'm just thinking of my head.
You are right.
I'm right.
I'm doing well.
So you take your teams to just go around, you know, and see what other people are doing. And come back and discuss and say, so how can we reorganize ourselves? And I know we used to do that a lot in CITAM. We took our teams to both locally and internationally to benchmark with other churches and what they are doing. Invite people to speak to us about new dimensions of doing church. And so on. And it really helped us to grow as a ministry in these areas. And it there's a sense it also gives the members, the team members, that excitement that we can send them for this seminar, send them to this workshop, go for this international conference, and just see how things are done.
Yes.
Because another proverb that we say in Africa is that he who does not travel thinks their mother's food is the best or the mother is the best cook. Until you travel around and discover women are cooking out here.
Better than my mother.
Better than my mother.
Yeah.
So take people to go and see what other women are doing in terms of cooking. And come back and advise mom.
Could we try this recipe?
Let's try this one, you know. And your dinner table is much richer. Because of that visit to the neighbors neighborhood. So learning is a major responsibility of a leader who believes that people need to grow.
Yes.
People need to grow. But there are people who don't believe in learning and growth. And so you say, I want to go for a seminar, I want to go for this workshop, and they say, where is the money?
Had you budgeted?
Leave alone budget. Who is going to pay for that? No. Yeah. So some people, I'm afraid to say, I don't know how people look at it, but for me, I believe that as an organization of whatever kind, we are part of a global community. Okay?
Yes.
So when I develop my workers, I'm contributing to the global community.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I am not quite sold out to this idea of bonding.
The staff bonding or something?
Staff bonding, where we take you for training for 3 months.
Yes.
Then we bond you. You cannot leave until you have paid us back
our 200K.
Our 200K that we invested in you. I know it plays both ways.
Yes.
And if I'm talking to team members, I would say, if you knew you were going to leave in 6 months, why did you take this 3 month course at our expense?
The Lord is seeing you.
Yes. So you as an individual should first and foremost be responsible.
Yes.
So that if you know you are thinking of leaving, and here we are taking you on a 3 month course, and you know that in 3 months' time you are leaving, just say, at this point, my thinking is that I feel I'm being led elsewhere.
Yes.
Maybe somebody else should go. But you take it and then you come back and give us a letter of resignation.
Can you imagine?
That is unethical.
Yes.
It is unethical.
Yes.
But on the other side of the employer, we are developing grace not just for ourselves, but for herself and for the global community. So if and when she leaves us with the skills that she has gained here, she's going to do a better job somewhere else that builds the global kingdom, you know?
Mm. I think we are selfish, Bishop.
We are selfish, of course.
It's transactional.
We are very,
I've given you this training. You must stay here.
Yeah.
But
do you see the counter of that is that if I force you to stay here when your mind had already left,
You have already resigned at work.
You resigned at work. So I will not get what I need to get out of you.
No.
Just because I've forced you to stay.
Mm.
You need to stay because you want to stay and give us what you have to the best of your ability.
Mm.
So we can force you to stay, but you're problematic. You're not delivering. And we can't sack you because we are the ones who told you to stay.
Just counting.
One more month to go. One more week, you know.
Yes.
So I call for responsibility from both sides.
Yes.
The team member needs to know a lot has been invested in me, and therefore I need to give back and contribute to my organization. The organization needs to feel we are developing this person for ourselves, for themselves, but also for the global community.
Yes.
So that wherever they are, they will carry our brand and go there and do a good job. And people will know that when you work with Sitam, you are a good product.
Yes, very good. You are a hot cake.
You are a hot cake. So we are happy to release you to the wider ministry. So Theory Y leaders, therefore, we invest in people's growth.
Yes.
We provide feedback. Mm. We provide coaching. Mm. We deal with real challenges.
Mm.
We guide and help people to grow and develop themselves. So those are the five that I could share today from this perspective to leadership. Maybe you have a question or comment.
Well, I believe it's a good place for every leader to desire to be a Theory Y kind of a leader, because by living this would help workers enjoy to serve, and as they serve, results will just speak for themselves.
Very true.
You don't need to push.
You don't need to shout.
No shouting.
Yeah.
It's not a shouting match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Very true.
Mm.
Good. So I'm done.
Okay. Can a leader be in between Theory Y and Theory X? Has a bit of attributes of Theory Y and a bit of attributes of Theory X?
Remember, these are not attributes.
Ah, perspectives.
These are perspectives.
Yes.
This is how I look at things.
Yes.
These are the goggles that I wear.
As I lead.
As I lead.
Yes.
So if you have red goggles, everything will be red.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes.
So red goggles, if we call that theory Y, X.
X, yes. Okay? Yes. Dangerous. Mm-hmm.
They see everything red. So really, you have to remove those goggles to be able to see clearly.
Yes.
So it's not like you can combine because it is not, they are not attributes. They are like you're saying, it is attitude. Sometimes it's not even a choice. I don't know that people choose to be a Y or an X leader. It is, part of it is from how we have experienced leadership, how we have observed leadership, and it forms our perspective, our worldview. Okay? So part of the reason that we share this is hopefully to open our eyes that there may be a different way of doing leadership. Because if you, for example, you have grown, let's say even right from home, with a theory X father or mother. When you also get your opportunity, that's how you will also exercise, because you know, you think that this is how leadership is done. My father used to shout at me, and therefore I also shout. And you'll find, by the way, while we are at home, you'll find that if the father, mother shout, command, coerce their children, the children also coerce, command, shout at each other.
Yeah. Very
so,
true.
So the older one will, because that is now their opportunity to also exercise leadership over their brothers and sisters. So imagine that person now growing up and getting into a space where they are now providing leadership in an organization. They'll continue with the same. Because they don't know better. So it requires, therefore, a person to enter into a space like where we are talking today to realize that actually there is another way of doing things.
True.
That you don't have to shout at people. People are not as bad as you think they are.
Yes.
You can do things differently. So it may actually require you are removing your red goggles and putting on green ones or clear ones.
Yes.
Yeah. So that you see the beauty of the world.
Oh, yes.
The world has been so red or so dark. You know, there are people with dark goggles, and every day is, even when there's sunshine, they don't see it.
No.
Imagine I say sunshine. They don't see, they think it is dark, you know, the world is dark. It's because you're wearing dark goggles. Yeah. Just remove them and enjoy the beauty of the world.
Yes.
So the short answer to your question is, these are not attributes. These are perspectives.
Yes.
This is the worldview. This is how I look at the world. And therefore they inform how I act or react to situations.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know whether that clarifies.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It's a perspective. It's not a choice. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. That's a good place to wrap it up, Bishop.
Thank you.
Could pray for us before we wrap it up.
Okay.
Yes.
We could do that. Lord, we thank you for giving us this great opportunity. We started at the point of just reflecting over the season we are in, Easter. And we want to thank you for the gift and sacrifice that you gave us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for us, that we who are sinners can be reconciled to you. And Christ demonstrated to us what we would call theory Y leadership. Coming down and bringing us up who are nothing to be something. We thank you and we bless you. And this morning, if there's anybody who has not known this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd open their hearts and their minds so that they would make a commitment to take this journey with you in walking with you in this life. And we also want to pray for the various ones who have listened this morning, that our leadership will be different because of what we have heard, that our perspective to leadership will be different, how we treat those we work with, those who are in our teams. We pray, dear Father, that you will just help us to give them opportunity to grow, to develop, to contribute in a more positive way in the work that we are doing. This is our prayer, which we make in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you. Looking forward to our next session.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all we had for you on the Leadership Forum. Remember to catch a repeat of this program right here at Hope FM this coming Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. anytime at the Hope FM podcast on our website. My name is Grace Mutiso. Have a beautiful time. See you next week as we focus on Galatians chapter 6 on Meat of the Word. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.